Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
And you just never know when you're going to be introduced to a new unsung hero, and that was the situation I ran into a few weeks ago. I was traveling back home to Kentucky, and I was on a flight from Atlanta to Lexington, and the person sitting next to me was named Scott Green, and Scott was or is somebody who has spent his life working in the horse industry, but you've probably never heard of him because he has worked behind the scenes, a true unsung hero, just like so many of his colleagues. He drives a truck for a living, he works in horse transportation, and he is a critical part of what makes this sport successful, a true unsung hero, and he is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Scott, I appreciate the time, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, really excited to hear your story. And, you know, I had a chance the other day to hop on a phone call with Justin Moritz, who is out in California. He has a Facebook page dedicated to drivers who work in horse transportation. And you, of course, are front and center on that page because he put together a beautiful story about you. He kind of walked back through your life in racing, and he pointed out that you started at the age of 14 working around horses.
I did, and I started as an attendant. Well, I actually started cleaning out trucks for Morrissey Horse Pullmans up in Pawling, New York. And then I sort of got the opportunity to ride as an attendant, where I learned a whole lot about thoroughbreds in a hurry at a young age. You know, how beautiful they are and how dangerous they can be. A fellow by the name of Willie Breedy took me under his wing and really showed me a lot. To this day, Willie has passed on, but I'm grateful to the family for sure.
Why did the transportation side of things kind of draw you in?
Well, it's a funny story because my dad was a great golfer. He wanted me to be a caddy. And I went to caddy one day, and next door to the golf course was, they had these trucks. I was more interested in the trucks for some reason. I don't know if it was an escape from the farm or just an opportunity to be free, but I took it. So it's the game of golf that got me to the horse business.
Yeah, it's a great story. And when you started, you were working, well, at Lawrence Farms in New York, and it's no wonder when you think about the connections that Lawrence Farms had to the transportation industry, it's no wonder that you developed that love.
Well, absolutely. And Mr. Morrissey himself was still alive. His son-in-law, Willie, as I mentioned, ran the business. And he let me hang around. He'd make me do some dirty, nasty jobs, but I loved it. I couldn't get enough. Then he'd let me go on a ride, let me work with the horses. We had horses on the farm I grew up at, so I was used to being around horses. That's a big help.
Did you spend more time working with the horses back then, or were you spending more time working with the trucks?
Both, because he let me go as a groom. You know, I rode in the back of the trailer and basically took care of the horses. And those trailers were not like they are today, that's for sure.
You know, it's funny because I remember in our conversation on the plane, you were telling me how you've left the industry a couple of times and come back, but it always seems to to bring you back, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, as I said to Justin, I love the animals so much. And I think I can speak for my colleagues also that, you know, people I can do without, but the animals, no. I love working with them. It's a challenge. You know, we get it. It's not an easy job for sure, especially in the thoroughbred industry. The mares and bulls, the yearlings, you know, two-year-olds, they'll test you. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's a lot of long hours, too. Describe your current job. I know you work as kind of an independent contractor now, but describe what you currently do with the horse transportation.
Well, normally I would fly now, this time of year, I'd fly up to New York, get on the truck, and basically go to Kentucky until you're tired of going to Kentucky, back and forth. We bring a lot of horses to Kentucky. We bring a lot of horses back to New York. And it's good to see the New York thoroughbred scene has really flourished. It's really come back very strong.
That was the one thing, Scott, that captured me in our conversation, too. And I knew right away I wanted to ask you to join me for this segment because, you know, like so many other folks that are involved in horse transportation, it's the love of the horse that keeps you coming back, as you just said. But you love hanging out at the sales. You love hanging out at the racetrack when you get time. And I thought that was really a cool part of your story.
It is. I enjoy, you know, we don't get a lot of time to do those things, unfortunately. Last year at Keeneland, I actually got to sit in the bid room and watch. And it was like, it was fascinating to me. I didn't want to leave, but we had a rare day off. Usually we're at the chutes, we're loading, and we're going wherever that may be. So that was a great time.
Yeah. You know, so many trainers and jockeys will join me on this show, and they'll talk about how, especially the old school trainers, they'll talk about how the game has changed since they first got involved back in the 1950s or 60s or 70s, whatever the case might be. I'm sure it's the same with the transportation side of things, too. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the years?
Well, number one's got to be the equipment. I mean, the equipment that we operate now is just top-notch, and not just Morrissey's, you know, nationwide. You can't operate with junk equipment. Nobody will put their horses on that. These things now, you know, just the cost alone is out of this world for the trailers.
Yeah.
But it's necessary.
Yeah. You know, you told me, too, that, and you started off mentioning this at the beginning of our conversation here, by the way, visiting with Scott Green, who is a true unsung hero. He's with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You said that this can be a dangerous job, too, and it certainly is. It's like working on the starting gate, for example. That's a very dangerous job that people don't realize is dangerous. Justin pointed out in his article that you had one very scary moment working at Lion's Share Farm when you entered a trailer hoping to help a horse. Tell me about that.
Well, it was a jumping horse, actually. And I noticed he was standing in a stall and a half on the trailer, and his eyes were closed, and it looked like he was going to sleep. So I said, that's not right. Ended up, he had a seizure, and I was between him and the wall of the trailer, and he collapsed in the chains. And there was 1,600 pounds pinned against the trailer.
Whoa.
But I managed to get out, thank God. You know, I've been kicked and bit and struck at, pounced on, and you name it. You know, we've all been through it. But it can get scary.
So why do you still do it? What do you like most about it?
Like I said, just the animals. It's a challenge every day. It really is. And I like challenges. Not only get them there safe and on time and well taken care of, you know, on a route. Besides, we're driving, you know, 24 hours straight. We run mostly two driver teams, which a lot of guys do now for the laws and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we belong to the National Horse Carriers Association, a fantastic organization that keeps only the best carriers in good standings. These are things to be proud of. You know, the people I work for, fine people.
Who are some of those people, Scott, that have had a significant impact on your life and on your career in this business?
Well, obviously Morrissey Horse Pullman's out of Pauley, New York. Marcy Breedy Roberts and her family. Willie was her dad. I worked for her dad. It's a family-owned company for 75 years.
Wow.
And they're still going strong. W.J. Barry Horse Transportation, Holly Hill Horse Transportation, Nikon Horse Transportation. I mean, the list I could name, but I'm not going to. All those guys know who they are. They've all helped me.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've helped them too.
It is such a wonderful thing, and I know that it's been a wonderful ride for you, no pun intended. But a great career and a passion that you've turned into a career, and it was a delight to sit next to you on the plane. I hope we get to cross paths again and hang out, because there are people like yourself, Scott, that they're invaluable in making this sport a success.
Well, thank you, Mike. And you were that kind of guy. Usually I don't talk to many people on the airplane.
Yeah.
I'm glad I decided to talk to you.
I talk for a living. I tend to talk to too many people on the airplane. So.
No.
Why do you think my wife wasn't sitting next to me? She wants no part of that.
I won't make a comment on that.
Scott, listen, I appreciate you taking time. You are, and I say this on behalf of everybody who is working in the transportation industry and making sure our horses get from location to location safely, true unsung heroes, and I really appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for the conversation.
Mike, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Scott Green, this week's unsung hero, that segment presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm back with more right after this word from Woodbine.
The thrill of world-class racing continues all summer at Toronto's Woodbine Racetrack. Kick off the weekend's action with Twilight Racing each Thursday evening at 5:05 p.m. Eastern, followed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday programs beginning at 1:10 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the build-up towards the 163rd running of the Queen's Plate on Sunday, August 21st, and enjoy the best turf racing around with daily action over the famed E.P. Taylor Turf and action-packed inner turf course. For wagering updates, handicapping tips, racing news, and more, visit woodbine.com.
If you know someone you feel deserves to be recognized as an unsung hero, simply send me their information and tell me why you feel they deserve to be an unsung hero in thoroughbred racing, and I'll do my best to have them on this segment in the weeks and the months ahead. That's mike@horseracingradio.net. All right, when I come back, time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Twin Spires on HRRN.